I was thinking this week that when I go to be with the Lord and I'm standing there at the gate, what's he going to say to me? This will be confirmation that the Lord was with us this week. I think he's going to ask, who did you bring with you?
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, the Lord touched my heart. The last couple of days I've been in the Gideon training session in Tuscaloosa. Wow, I had a chance to be around other men that love the Lord, other men that want to serve. And it's going to make me a better man. It's going to make me a better husband. I want to tell you about a spiritual awakening going on that we're having a chance to see. As a Gideon, I get to do this. It's an opportunity for me. And I thank you all for that. I could not do it if it wasn't for other Christian men that I'm walking in the footsteps of great men. For more than 125 years, these Gideons have been spreading the word. They've been witnessing. If you turn the TV set on, you probably see a lot of things that you don't see. But right now, I get to see this. I'm excited. There's a spiritual awakening going on in our state. There's a spiritual awakening going on in our country. Have you ever thought that you would see the President of the United States, after he launched a major attack, stand up and give credit to Jesus?
That's right.
And the Secretary of Defense, yesterday and today, the same thing. I've never thought I would see that again. I thought we'd gone too far.
Right.
Well, we haven't.
Amen.
I get a chance to distribute God's word. I've got to say this. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void,
right,
but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it.
Amen.
Those are words so true, and I've had a chance to see it. A few weeks ago, we handed out almost 17,000 of these in Birmingham. Wow, 17,000. Here locally, we handed out this past year more than 5,000. In my camp. Now, Jason's in a different camp. Jason, what camp are you with? I sure wish you'd been in my camp. I'm in Lauderdale East, and we have about 24 Gideons who are on fire for the Lord, and we have 14 auxiliary that are on fire for the Lord. We get a chance to do this. We can't outgive the Lord.
Amen.
I want to talk a little bit about what we did in Chile. I really didn't know where Chile was before I started preparing for this. How long have I been preparing for this? More than 20 years. It's been one of those things I wanted to do, an international scripture blitz. Giddings International will do half a dozen or so somewhere in the world. And I'm going to try to go along with this agenda today. A long time ago when I was a captain in the Army, I taught at the Military Academy at West Point. And I told the cadets, I know you're done reading that chart when your lips quit moving. Mm-hmm. I had so much fun with those cadets. I had so much fun. You know, I am not a minister, but I am a man of God.
Right.
And I want to be a man of action and a man of faith. Someone says, what do you believe? Well, I believe the Bible is inspired, infallible, and inerrant.
Right.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, my eternal God. I believe he died for my sins.
Yes, yes.
I will endeavor to follow Jesus in my daily life.
Yeah.
I believe that a marriage is between a biological man and a biological woman.
Right. Amen.
Those are things that I believe. All Gideons believe that. Now, if there's a bad Gideon that gets in front of you, it's a preacher's fault. It really is. The pastor has to sign the Gideon application. You're not going to be a Gideon, right, Jason? Wow. Let's see the next chart. Mr. Martin is acting like he's clandestine. You can see at the bottom of South America, over on the Pacific side, Chile. Wow, long country. I mean, it's a long, long way. It's hard to get from one place to another. There's about 50 camps there. Now, we have about 12,000 camps in the world. I think it's 11,997, something like that. And we have over 100,000 Gideons in the world. We have about 50,000 in the United States. We don't have enough. Auxiliary members, about 25,000. Not enough. There's not enough hands. And all of us, you see my gray hair, we're all getting old. So we're looking for the next generation, just like Psalm 78, Pastor. We're looking for the next generation of men and women to serve in our organization. I had a chance down there in Chile to hand out lots of testaments. They told me, you won't be able to pray. You won't be able to witness. Everywhere I went, they kept pushing me up front. There were 10 teams. 11 men from the United States went down there. And they were godly men. Men like Dennis Donnelly used to be president of Gideon's International. Men like Bill Fillmore, Judge Bill Fillmore, who's a president of the Alabama State Association. He was there. Wow. What an opportunity it was for me. You see, God had something for me. It's not like I'm going to do anything for God. It's like God's going to shape me and mold me. And I want to be responsive to that. I had a chance to interact with the police. Now, I'd been a military police officer. I'd been an Army Ranger in the Army. But I had a chance to talk with these guys down there. It's a different world. When I went down there, I thought it was going to be like when I went to Honduras on a couple of church missions, third world, it wasn't that way. Santiago, wow, 8 million people in this city. A four-lane highway downtown. I mean, it's modern. I couldn't believe it. And what was a breath of fresh air? I've been in some places in the world where people looked at me with hate in their eyes. I mean, I was a soldier. They looked at me like they were afraid. When I went down there, we were like heroes. I couldn't believe it. Everywhere we went. Well, first off, most of those people are short, grown men that tall. I couldn't believe it. They were short people. And everywhere we went, we stood out. And they would come up and they'd say, hey, can I have your autograph? I said, you got to be kidding. I'm not anybody. The people that we handed the testaments out, I went to a church. It was San Bernardo El Bautista. Wow. They told me, you can expect about 50 people in the church. And that was a church about like this, about this size. It was much older. Wow, it was old. I mean, a couple hundred years old. Old. When I went in, it was jam-packed. Man, they were hanging. It was Mother's Day. They were hanging off the wall. They were everywhere. I went in there, and those people, the way they worship the Lord, they are so energetic. Kind of reminds me of your pastor. I went in this church. All the glory to God. All the glory to God. All the glory to God. 50 times. If it happened once during that service, it was 50 times. They were in love with the Lord. The music, yeah, their music wasn't as good as y'all's. They had a band. They were serious about their music. It wasn't as good as what I heard today. I mean, I heard all of us making a noise for the Lord, and it was wonderful.
All glory to God.
I was really close to that big building there. I was staying in Hotel de Almagro, and across the street from us was a grocery store called The Clan. Wow, go figure. You know, that would never work in the United States, but it worked good down there. By the way, there was a big Walmart down there too, but they don't call it Walmart. The emblem is the same, but those people, they touched my heart. The Gideons made me feel part of their camp. They made me feel part of their family. And I'll get a chance to see some of them when Tanya and I go in July to Grand Rapids, Michigan for the International Convention. I'll see many of them at that convention. And I promise you, it'll be just like when I see your pastor. When I see your pastor, I see a brother. When I see Jason, I see a brother. And that is such a wonderful thing. I want to show these pictures to you because these are some of the popular sightseeing things that you can see in Chile. I didn't see any of that. I was gone for 10 days. I went down there for a mission. I didn't go down there to sightsee. And our mission was, wow, every day jam-packed. We got up in the morning. I was in a prayer room with the other members of our team at 5:15 every morning. And I'll show you a picture of that in a moment. That idea of having a burden for the lost. I told Tanya this week when the idea came to me about, who did you bring with you?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to bring all my family?
Wow.
Am I going to bring all my family?
Wow.
It makes me so emotional. And I tell you, I hope that you feel the same thing. We have an opportunity. We have a responsibility. And we get a chance to do this. This idea of the fulfillment of the Great Commission. This trip was so wonderful. People would tell me, if you go on an international blitz, it will change you. It will change your life. I'm telling you, it has. It's changed my perspective. I think about how important it is, fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, gentleness, meekness. I know my wife will tell you that David's got a hard time with patience and self-control. But the Lord is growing me in that way. He's growing me. And I think about spiritual gifts. I think I've heard the pastor ask me a couple of times, and I would say, hey, pastor, how can I pray for you? What can I pray for? And he's going to ask me to pray for these things, wisdom, understanding, discernment, knowledge. That's just who he is. Y'all, that's the kind of man I want to be too. And I know some of you all out there are the very same. This idea at the bottom where it talks about people being uninformed, deceived, mistrustful, confused, lost. And I'm asking you all, how do you want to be remembered? I want to be remembered as an encourager. I want to be remembered as being a joyous person. I don't want to be remembered for my sins. I want to be remembered for my life, especially my life as a Gideon. I never considered when I was growing up the idea that impact was such an important thing. As a matter of fact, I kind of thought, I don't care what other people think. I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do what I want to do. And wow, I was so off base. I was so far from right. And I've learned that God made me for his purpose. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what's in this book. That's what matters. But what I've learned is that I can have an impact locally. I can have an impact in my church. And I get a chance tonight, Pastor. Tonight at my church, St. Joe First Baptist, I'm going to talk to them. Our pastor's on vacation. So he asked me to talk to them. Wow, I sure hope I say exactly what the Lord wants me to say. That's an awesome responsibility. But what I want to tell you, already this church is having an international impact. You may have thought, yeah, locally, and I'm seeing children in the church. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. I see growth, and I'm excited. I'm not surprised because the Lord sent this man. The Lord sent you to be part of this effort.
Yeah.
It takes every one of us.
Amen.
I'm asking myself, what's next, Lord? What's my next responsibility? I don't know where he's going to send me. I haven't signed up. When I signed up for the International Scripture Blitz, it's kind of a thing that you make application and people vet this and they pray about it and they come up with a team. It is an awesome thing. It's one of the most honorable things I ever participated in. The idea of celebrating. I told you I was celebrating. Today I'm celebrating. Y'all, if it hadn't have been for what happened last night, there's a strong possibility that we'd be nuked already.
That's right.
This was an enemy that threatened us. This was an enemy that threatened to kill us. This was an enemy that killed more than 600 Americans while I was in the military that I know of. I remember during the Gulf War, there was an Iranian element that came across the border and killed a bunch of Army MPs. And it makes me mad, y'all. The Lord don't want us to be mad. But the Lord wants us to know the enemy.
Yeah.
I am preparing for a future engagement. I don't know what's going to happen. When I was in Chile, we handed out 167,000 testaments, hand to hand. Wow, we were in those schools. I would walk into a school that they told me I couldn't pray with the students. I couldn't talk to the students. Wow, They opened the doors for me. They made me feel welcome. God did it. And it was because of that picture right there. That's how we prayed. We got on our knees the old way, and we prayed. I was looking. This idea of endeavoring to follow Jesus, everywhere we went. If it was supper at night, we were not off duty. We were on duty. One night, we're in this restaurant. This lady waits on us. And I just happened to be at the end of the table. All these men, there were six men with us. They were powerful men of God. And I asked this young lady, I said, we're going to pray for a meal. How can we pray for you? It kind of startled her. She got, her name was Mia. She thought about it for a moment and she said, I'm from Venezuela and I came over here to work and live. And my husband and I have been trying to have a family for 5 years and I'm barren. I can't have children. She said, would you pray for me? And I told her, ma'am, be careful what you ask for, but we will pray for you. And we did. We joined hands at the table and we prayed for that woman to have a child. If I go back to Santiago, I've got to look Mia up, find out what happened. I told you I've been preparing for this a lifetime. The Lord's been preparing for me. This wasn't a spur of the moment thing. I had to make some financial preparations, and I'm glad that my wife supported me in that. Gideons pay their own way. We're not paid to do the Gideon ministry. The Lord gives. And oh, by the way, he outgives whatever we get. Every time I turn around, he's doing something for us that's a blessing. And I'm not in the Army anymore. Now I'm driving that John Deere tractor. I'm rolling that hay. I'm having fun. I went through all the administrative hassles. The passport. I bought travel insurance in case my TRICARE, my military insurance, all that stuff wouldn't kick in. I had special missionary insurance. Didn't cost much, but I was ready for this. Every I was dotted, every T was crossed, and the Lord made the way easy. The top picture to the right, I had a pastor and I had a Catholic priest with me. That was during the time frame when the Pope had passed away. Those people down there in Chile were upset because the Pope had passed away. They were visibly upset. The first school I went to, we had several people came up to us and complained. They hadn't seen the priest. They hadn't seen the priest. They hadn't heard from him. They were complaining that we were handing out scriptures in front of a Catholic school. So my next distribution was a hospital. I got the priest to go. And the priest said, that's God's word you're handing out. Take it, be glad, rejoice. When I went into schools, I would show them the copy of this word. I'd say, you ought to get in a book like this today. Write your name in the front of it. If you lose it or misplace it, somebody might bring it back to you. Read this little book. In the front, there's some helps. If you get in trouble, calamity happens to you, and it will, especially if you're trying to live for the Lord. If being close to the Lord is your aim, get ready for that Satan to try to interfere. Right. The enemy's going to attack you. Those helps in this little book are so important. Read the little book. And then in the back, there's God's plan of salvation in the back. GPS provides a Roman road, the route. There's a place for you to write your name in the back of this testament. There's a prayer you can say to the Lord. When you write your name in the front, the book belongs to you. When you write your name in the back, you belong to God.
Come on.
See, I'm so excited to do that. I watched so many students in Chile. I watched them write their name in the front, and when I was done, they write their name in the back. The pastor's sitting here going, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They were cheering us on. We would walk into schools and be greeted by the principal, and I would talk to the principal and pray with the principal. Then I would go meet with the teachers, and I would pray with them. I have a chance to give a copy of the book just like I gave you, except it was in Spanish, just like this one. This is what we gave to the police, the firefighters, the EMT people in Santiago. Wow, it was such a wonderful experience. I'd walk room to room. I told you Satan's going to try to get in the way. I went to the hospital, big hospital. We had 750 white testaments for the staff, for the doctors, for the nurses. Y'all, this was serious. This was serious. I met with the CEO and we prayed. You can't pray, Mr. Reagan. But I went in there and the pastor goes, please pray for our CEO. My honor. It was that way in every department. When I went in the first room, there were 8 beds in the room. There were 4 men to the left, 3 men to the right, and 1 woman. You see, there was no privacy in that hospital. The beds were about 20 inches apart. That first room I walked into, y'all, I had 8 years of Spanish. My Spanish is not so good. But I heard a voice in Spanish, keep that book away from me. You see, I encountered a demon. I did, Pastor. I knew right then there was a demon there. I backed up. It was my really first encounter. What do? I'm the Gideon, come here and I bump into a demon. How am I going to respond to this? The Lord responded. Immediately, the man across from the walkway stood up. He comes to me. He's got this big IV. He's going through chemotherapy. He comes up to me. He's about 40, 45 years old. And he looked at me. In his face was the most fear I've ever seen. He was fearful unto death. And he said, please pray for me. Please pray for me. You see, the Lord showed me something there. Mm-hmm. He said, everybody in there saw this happen. They saw it happen. I'm still praying for that man. Every time I think about him, I'm lifting him in prayer. I had an interpreter there, David Amador. David, I had some fun with David. David's English was really good. He had a touch of autism, a touch of it. But he was so perfect about everything. And I had him on, I'm going along, I'm doing my Gideon presentation, and I stopped and I told him, Chalagi, can we speak Cherokee? And everybody's looking like they'd never heard anybody speak Cherokee before. For certain, David hadn't. Wow. You know, the plan. We had a plan, but it was unscripted, really. The Lord put us there, and he had his plan. We just had to have a willing heart to be there. We went to a pastor's appreciation banquet, much like the one that you came to. But it was much classier. They were wearing tuxedos. It was fancy. It wasn't any plastic knife or fork. It was a real meal. It was so nice, I couldn't believe it. Wow. And we prayed. And we prayed. And we celebrated. You see, when you hand out 167,752 scriptures in a week in Santiago, we made a dent down there. But there's 8 million people in Santiago. Wow. When I would talk to those students, I would tell them, take it home. Let your brother and sister read it also. Let your mom and daddy read it also. I don't know how many lives are going to be changed. I just know it will happen. In the picture, the top one to the left, Dennis Donnelly to the right, Bill Fillmore to the left, Mike Garner in the center. Mike Garner is now a regional field officer in Africa South. He just took that job here a couple of weeks ago. My escort when I was down there was Juan and Julie Labarda. Oh, they were so wonderful. And they didn't speak English. Juan was a retired sergeant. He was a tanker in their army. So, it was so much fun. And in the bottom picture is another group of police officers that we had down there. The environment there, they told us, do not walk out on the street and do not have your cell phone in your hand because somebody will come by on a motorcycle and steal your cell phone. Do not go anywhere unless you have somebody with you that knows the area or someone will rob you or shoot you. Wow. But it was not that case. It's not what I saw when I went there. We had prayed ourselves up. We were praying. And the churches that I attend were praying for me. Pastor, I think you may have prayed for me too. I just know it worked. 3 days before that trip, I injured my right knee. Oh, man, when you're going on an international blitz and you injure your right knee, all those airports you got to walk through, wow. But the Lord got me through it. On Wednesday, I'm getting out of the car. I'm kind of slow getting out of the car because my knees hurt. I laid my hand up there. And Mrs. LaBarra, she slams the door on my hand. Oh, it hurts so bad. Y'all, I've been shot once, cut once. It didn't hurt near as bad as sort of slamming that car door on my hand. And I asked her, I said, Julie, will you come back and open the door? I pulled my hand out. I said, it's going to be broken, mangled. It wasn't. My hand was okay. I'm going, how did that? It hurt so bad, but it wasn't broken. How did that happen? It was because of God's prayer. Oh, man, what a trip. What a trip. When I got there, the first thing I had to do was give my Gideon presentation 3 times to them. Wow. They wanted to hear it every way I could give it because the translator had to. It's hard to do a translation. It's hard. A lot of pauses and stops and shifting. But this guy here, he worked so well with me, touched my heart. I had breakfast with them. You know, they did a tradition for their breakfast meal and for their lunch meal. They would sing a prayer. Wow. And they were doing it for me. Every day it was a different prayer. I said, whoa, these people were serious about their faith and about their worship. When I went in the church, there were 4 Gideons in that little church. All of them had one thing in common. They were older than me. Oh, that's where we're at. We need the young blood in our organization. We need other men and women to follow in our footsteps, younger people. The weather there was different. When I went down there, they're in the fall of the year. Wow. So I went from being spring to fall. All the leaves were changing. There was a cool breeze coming in, but they were in a drought. It hadn't rained there in months. They were in a drought. And while I was there, one morning it rained. Oh, and they were celebrating. I went in this big school. In this school, they were celebrating the day of the book. And they were doing renditions or plays. Each class, the 10th grade, the 11th grade, they were doing like Beauty and the Beast, acting it out. 800 students in that school. They said, now Mr. Reagan's going to talk to you about the book. And I had a chance to talk to them about God's word. Wow, I was so excited. They made me feel so welcome. I told them, I said, have any of y'all ever been to America? One little girl, she raised her hand up. And she said in English, I've been to Nashville. The acceptance rate. If I go to University of Alabama, I went down to Alabama a couple years ago. I handed out 185 testaments in front of the ladies' dorm over by the football house. If I might have thought I did anything, I didn't, because every time I would hand them out, they would say, God bless you. God bless you. They touched my heart. There was 2 out of that dorm that refused. 2. And they said, sir, please keep that because I've got 6 Bibles in my room. Give that to somebody that doesn't know the Lord. The refusal rate there was very low. In the colleges that I went to, maybe 5%. In the elementary schools, less than 1%. There was an element of children that were wearing all black and they would put white makeup on. Oh, man, like the gothic look and rings. And I thought, every time I meet one of them, they're going to turn me down. But then when I went to that one school that was celebrating the book, this girl, she took God's word. She started reading, and then she started talking to me. Wow, I got excited about that because I know that girl wrote her name in the back of that testament. I know it's going to make a difference. the way they treated us there, they'll always be welcome at my farm, at my home. Those Gideons that I bumped into there, they are my brothers. And I will see them in heaven. I was thinking about, I would walk up to him, un regalo para usted, señor. Oh, it was so much fun. I'm so grateful to the Lord and Tanya for letting me do that visit. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future except what I read in my Bible. That's certain. I know that's going to happen. And I encourage you to take that testament out. Look at Revelation right now. Look at Isaiah. It will tell you what's going to happen. I was driving over here today. And I said, Lord, let the words out of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was talking to Tanya. Man, it's so beautiful making this drive here. We've got to find a way that we can celebrate. We got to find a way that we can spread the word. And we want our children. We want you to see our joy. We want you to see that our faith is real. I told you before with my grandchildren, I've told them, when I die, meet me at the Benjamin Gate. You see, I want them to know where I'm going to be. Heaven's going to be big, so wonderful. In the training that we had before church today, you were talking about what we might expect. I don't know what to expect, except I'm excited.
Amen.
I'm excited. I want them to be excited too. When I go to be with the Lord, I want them to know that I am with family. You all, thank you all for supporting Gideon's International. Thank you for the testaments. Thank you for the Bibles that this church has already bought. Thank you for what you're doing for the youth. Youth, if I haven't told you, accept the Lord. Accept the Lord. It's free. Y'all were singing one song up here that I couldn't hardly sing all of it because it said, blessed be the Lord. And then it goes, surrender. I was an Army Ranger. Surrender is not a Ranger word. Surrender is not in my Bible. The word submit is in there, and I submit to the authority of Christ. But I tell you now, surrender is not in my Bible, and I love the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Give him a hand real quick, y'all. Several months ago, before I met Jason and Jenny and knew really anything about the Gideons other than the fact that I had seen their Bibles in hotel rooms and whatnot, I was approached by Brother David. And as a pastor, as your pastor, the first thing that I thought of was, okay, somebody's looking for some money. Right? Here's perhaps another missionary that wants me to petition on behalf of them to see, you know, if there's some way we can support them. And I get that a lot, okay? And so very, very rarely do you ever hear from anybody that has made contact with me, especially to take my pulpit, so to speak. Amen. Many of you have never seen anybody preach in that pulpit like Brother David has. But what I found was, the first thing I found out is I just kind of stayed quiet. I listened to what he had to share, and I kept waiting for the big question. Here's how much money we need. This is what we want. This is what we want from you. We'd like for you to do this. Instead, what I kept getting was, how can I pray for you? What can we do for your church? Can we give you some of these Bibles? Can we give you some of these New Testaments? And as always, give and give and give. And I was patient. I waited him out. I kept waiting for the bomb. Amen. I kept waiting for, hey, by the way, we need this. And it never came. And then I met Jason and Jenny, and we did go to that banquet one time, and I got to hear some more. And not once has the Gideons ever, ever asked me for anything. He didn't even ask me for prayer. When he prays for me, I have to tell him, now, I want to pray for you, right? But not once has he ever asked for a nickel. Not once have the Gideons International ever asked for a nickel. And as you know, the last missionary we had from our church was Linda Middlebrooks. And Linda went to serve down in New Orleans, and we went down there, Francis, how many times? Umpteen times, amen, to minister in urban New Orleans. And it was a great pleasure to do that. Well, when that mission closed, the Rachel Sims mission closed, really we didn't have any other missionaries that we supported other than that going through the International Mission Board or the North American Mission Board. And so I always thought it would be a great idea for us to have a missionary, right? And until we raise up our own missionary and send somebody out into the field, my heart has been, hey, man, I can't think of a better way to be a missionary than to get the Word of God out in people's lives. And, man, when I heard 170-some-odd thousand New Testament Bibles, I said, that's a missionary right there. And I've been led to this scripture where the Bible says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's good news right there, right? But it goes on to say, how then shall they call on him on whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings to God. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is God's greatest missionary. But it takes men and auxiliary women, Gideons, and many other organizations, I'm sure, to get this word of God out. I personally felt led to support the Gideons, and have been. And now, for the first time ever, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. We're going to take up just a love offering. It's not going to be part of our budget. We're not making that kind of request. But I feel so led to support the Gideons. Not because they ask, because they haven't asked for a nickel. But I tell you what, if they're printing these and giving these out, I'm on board. Amen. So as you exit, if you feel so led, I want you to contribute. Just whatever you feel led to give. And then what they'll do is they'll take it, and you know what they're going to use it for? To buy Bibles. Like he said, they pay their own way. So every nickel that we give, they just buy Bibles with it. And give them away. And give them away. And give them away. So I want to encourage you to do that too. But I also want to remind you that because the Word of God does not return void, what you've heard today can influence your life too. Amen. When you hear the Word of God, when you hear how you can be saved, you too can come to Christ. And who knows? Maybe you might be the next Bethel missionary. Maybe you might be the next Bethel Gideon. Amen. And so I pray that however the Lord is leading you this morning, that you'll just respond in obedience. Okay? And as our praise team comes forward, I'm going to pray. And then we're just going to have a song of invitation. And so y'all come on. And as we sing, you just come and respond as the Lord would have you to, okay? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice at the privilege of having copies of your word. Father, we thank you that we can partner with organizations like the Gideons that truly have your heart in mind. That, Father, there are those that want to make sure that the word of God gets out into the hands of people that don't have it. And even in remote translations, they are diligently trying to translate the Word of God to get the Word of God out into the areas that need it the most. Lord, there are so many people in the world who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we've learned that faith comes by hearing and hearing by this Word. And so, Father, I pray that your people would be obedient. And but Lord, more importantly, I pray that today, if there is one here that doesn't know the saving grace of God that comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Father, they would not hesitate, but they would come and accept salvation while it's available. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you would have your will and your way in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Please stand with me.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to